Well, hey, good morning. We wanted to remind you all that this is Home Fellowship Church. So what that means is the reminder that, hey, we're just like being at home, and we are joining around in the living room, and we are going to worship the Lord together. This we don't have the pyrotechnics and the smoke machine today. So that's on the fritz. So we're going to have to do an unplugged version. But our desire today is to truly worship God. And, of course, I'm privileged to have my daughter Olivia at the keyboard today and my other daughter Natalie here singing. And we've got, of course, Sophia and Tate. They're back there cheering us on. But we're going to worship the Lord together. So why don't we all stand and we'll sing "Here I Am to Worship." Thank you, Jesus. Actually, before we do that, thank you, Lord God, for this day. Lord God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your sound mind. I thank you for saving us. I thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are worthy of our praise, and that we are here to put aside all the things that so easily distract us and bog us down and pull us down and run us in all these different directions, Lord God. But we are here to worship you. Worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go. Light of the world, you step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that with this heart adore you, hope of a life sent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow. Say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Yes, we are here to worship you this day. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Holy God, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Thank you. One, two, three.
This is my my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
Beautiful name, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
Were the Word at the beginning, when without the Lord Most High, hidden glory in creation, now revealed. Beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. Jesus, you brought heaven down. Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Jesus, right now, I just thank you so much for making us new creations. I thank you for coming into our life and giving us a new identity in you. Lord Jesus, your sacrifice is, it's so much more than words can describe. And I thank you so much for what you do. I thank you so much for what you've done for each and every one of us who are in you. Jesus, you are so beautiful. Thank you, Jesus.
All things have passed. Yeah, all things have passed. Oh, your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead, you're breathing in life. Your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one.
need of Jesus, our affection, our devotion. Poured out on the feet of Jesus, our affection, our devotion. Poured out on the feet of Jesus, our affection, our devotion. Poured out on the feet of Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one. We love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Our hearts adore. Our hearts adore. Our hearts adore.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the one our hearts adore. Thank you and praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks, guys. Good morning, everybody. Oh, thanks, Gary. You're awesome.
Thank Wendy Jo. She went out
of school. Aw, Wendy Jo, wherever you're at, thank you. You guys are awesome. I'm glad you're here. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Weaver family, for leading us in worship today. We got a couple announcements. So we're going to go through a few things really quickly, if I can make sure I get everything working right. Okay, so again, I'm so glad. It was so nice to have Nathan just welcome everybody to the church. And we're just glad you're here. And just a little bit about the church, too. You know, we're about his heart, his word, and his spirit. And that's what it says right there. And his heart needs to be the motivation for everything we do. It's a heart of love. The Bible says that God is love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Everything we do as born again believers has to be inspired by love, driven by love. The love of the Lord and the love for others. And that love can only come from him. Amen. Especially as this world grows darker. Isn't that true? So that's what we're about. We're about his heart, but also his word. That's right in the middle because it's central. Because heaven and earth are going to pass away. Fads are going to pass away. Churches are going to pass away. Pastors are going to pass away. All this stuff is all going to pass away, but his word is going to remain central forever and ever. Amen?
Amen?
It'll never return void. So that's why we go through the scriptures verse by verse, chapter by chapter. That's why we're continually encouraging you to start reading the Bible on your own, praying every time, Lord, will you speak to me? Even if you don't understand, start in the New Testament. Pick a book of the New Testament. Start in chapter 1. Read one chapter a day. Chapter a day keeps the enemy at bay, and two or more kicks him out of the door. So you just start in the Word of God, okay? And I'm going to say it even more because I have that reverb. Okay, so also, and then so his heart is the motivation, you know. His word is the message, right? That's the gospel message that brings salvation and also that brings sanctification to our hearts. And his spirit, that's the method, right? It's not about a program. What works cookie cutter here doesn't work cookie cutter there. It's all to be led by his spirit. What do you want me to do today? At work, how do you want me to talk to this person? That's the method by his spirit, okay? So we're just glad you're here, and that's a little bit about our church. I'm putting this slide up because I keep getting reminded that we haven't done a communion in a long time. Long time, yes, thank you. Another one. So next week, Gary, you can hold me accountable. I'm putting this slide up so you can all know. So next week, we're going to have communion, all right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So, Gary, are you going to be here or no? If not, make sure Joel. Okay, good. All right. All right. So we're going to do communion, and you can hold me accountable. So if I forget or if I'm on, you know, just somebody stop me and said, hey, you said we're having communion. So you guys are going to help hold me accountable for this forgetful brain. All right. You guys know we don't collect tithes and offerings as far as bringing them in and passing baskets and manipulating anybody that way. If you want to give, God loves a cheerful giver. We have a little bird box in the back. Just put your tithes and offerings in there. He provides for us. He always has. If you're looking for just encouragement or a night out, this is the big church night out with Jordan Flez, David Crowder, Sarah Reeves. And so anyway, that's in Clearwater at Calvary Baptist. And that's Friday, October 9th. You can order tickets now. They're not too expensive. If you want to go in a group, I think they're about $20 each. If somebody wants to head that up. But again, that's big church night out. Also, if you're looking to volunteer and to help, we need help to paint the kids' church in the nursery, which is that first portable back there. I'll get to that in a second. And that's this Wednesday at Home Fellowship Church. I know the youth are meeting here between 6:30 and 8:30, but we're also going to have folks, if you can paint. And now, when I say you can paint, if you've never painted before, that probably wouldn't be helpful today, this time. So if you have some experience, you know, you paint a little bit or help, we would love for you to help just freshen up that new nursery. We want to freshen up the nursery, the kids' church, or if you're if you could help move some stuff around so that the people can paint around it, that would be really wonderful. We just would love for you to be here. That's this Wednesday, 6 to 8:30. I think Lisa will be here and Isabella will be here to greet you. If not, I will be here. Yes, yes, we have brushers, rollers. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How if you guys are official, like, you know, really cool painters, you might bring your own stuff, which would be great, too. Yes.
I'll be here. I got my own stuff.
So. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Awesome. Oh, you guys are great. I love that. Wow. What a blessing. I just want to say it's inside. We want to freshen up the inside. It's just in the air conditioning. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for just being such a giving church, and thank you guys for just being such servants. I love it when I hear people just volunteering for stuff like that. You guys are awesome. You don't know how encouraging that is. Thank you for doing that. So, yes. Oh, Anthony, again, you have more to say? Oh, that's right. And you know what? I got your paint. And now Lisa has it, and it has a gallon of it. Hopefully that'll be enough. That's awesome. Thanks, bro. That's right. Part of our job is encouraging, equipping you guys. So there's different folks that are interested in different things. If anybody is interested, this is in 2019, we're going on a trip. I've been to Israel. This will be my fourth time in Israel. But this is going a little outside of that. Usually we spend 2 weeks in Israel. And so this time we're going on a cruise, a Holy Land cruise. It's about $4,000. It's not cheap, but it's about 12 days, 12 nights, actually. We're going to go to 9 ports, 5 countries, and a lifetime of memories. We're going to be going on the footsteps of the apostles. We'll be going to Athens, Greece. We're going to be going to the Isle of Malta. We're going to be going to Rome. When Paul ended up in Rome, we're going to go to Israel. We're going to go to the Sea of Galilee. We're going to go to Capernaum. We're going to go to the Mount of Beatitudes. Now, listen, they say this is true, that an experience like this is kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. They say that a trip like this, this is a teaching trip, a trip like this is worth 2 years of Bible college. Okay, and when I heard that, I thought, please, are you kidding me? Bible college, I've taken Bible college. And you know what? After taking it, can I tell you? It's just like 2 years of Bible college or more. I'm telling you, it brings stuff when you get to see the history and when you get to walk where Jesus walked and when you get to see the stuff with your own eyes and experience it. It takes it, I don't even know how to describe it, so please forgive me. It goes from like black and white to color, okay? I mean, it is unbelievable, and that's not, I'm not trying to hype it up, it's just, that's how it is. And so, anyway, they still have some rooms available, and so I'm going to announce it this month. The cruise isn't until next year. The deposit, if you're going to the lower part of the ship. It's the same size room, but it's $250 a person to register. And then if you're going to, like, when I say room with a view, it's probably a little circle about yay big. But anyway, it's $450 a person. And then you have to pay the rest by June of next year. So I want to welcome you guys to come. It would be awesome for you to do that. We'd love to have you. It would be such a blessing. Also, we just want to encourage you and equip you if you've struggled with addictions, anything like that, recoveryandbeyond.org. Sue Berger spoke last week. We just want to encourage you to visit her website at recoveryandbeyond.org. And she's got a book there that you can read and download for free. Right, I'm going to skip some of this stuff. You guys know about the radio stations, movies online, our loaner library in the back. We'd encourage you to come out and pray Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. here at Home Fellowship Church. Also, men's Bible study. We've been going through the book of 1 Timothy, and that's the first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m., and the Bible studies at 6:30. The Transformers Youth Group, I love it, is Romans 12:2, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's here at this church. You can talk to Josh and Amanda Panda, who are the youth leaders there. And that's here every Wednesday at 6:30 to 8:30. And so we're for the summertime, we've put a little hold on the barbecue and Bible study because we're doing a parenting course. And that's also here at 6 to 8 p.m. Hey, I'm going to say something. If you were a dad and you were not at, let me just rephrase that. If you were not at this last parenting Bible study, but especially if you're a dad, would you come see me after church? I want to make sure that you don't miss this teaching because it was very, very powerful. Also, you might have noticed we, by the grace of God, I have to say, it is just God. There's a second portable out there. We can't get the permits. There's, I rip my hair out, and somehow, all of a sudden, the permits went through, and there it is. Poof. So God is just amazing, and his timing is perfect, and he keeps doing stuff that just can't be done. You know, I think just a few years ago, this was just like weeds back here, the whole place. It's just amazing. So anyway, so we have a new portable back there, and so just continue to pray. We're getting it ready for the next school year, so thank you for that. Our CYA youth here are going to be at Cross Point Church. Is that right, this week?
Yeah.
Cross Point ministering to the kids? Okay, and so if there's anyone else who wants to be involved in that other than our normal CYA, Christian Youth in Action, please let us know, and we'll send you out there. Okay, so we are in the book of Daniel. So if you can open your Bibles to Daniel. Oh, wait, there's a couple things I forgot. Yes, Gary, you're going to tell me one of them.
Friday night.
Friday night is movie night. Yes! Okay, Jen, you're here somewhere. Can you bring that lovely young lady in the corner there a microphone? That'd be awesome. And there's somebody else here. There's something else I'm supposed to say, too. But go ahead.
Okay. This Friday at 6:30, we're doing like a family movie night. We will be watching Not a Fan. It's about a Jesus follower's story. And then Pastor Kyle Eidemann kind of interweaves the Not a Fan message, which is the difference between being a Jesus fan and a Jesus follower. To keep the kiddos occupied and happy, we've got some cartoon shorts. We will have movie theater popcorn and coloring books and crayons for them. And to tell you a little bit about Not a Fan, the songs that we were singing today kind of reflect some of the messages in it. Like the words, "I live for you alone." I mean, that's what it's all about. Being a Jesus follower is living for Jesus and God alone.
Yes.
Lord, have your way in me. Old things have passed away. And what I like about this movie is that it's real. It's not... We all know that the Christian walk isn't easy. And it doesn't glaze over that. It's really... real and shows the good and the bad and that it can be a struggle, but how following Jesus is just beautiful and powerful and makes an impact.
Wow. And it's for all ages, right? Do we need
all
to bring
ages,
like lawn chairs or a blanket just to spread out if we're going to come?
We're going to be in here, correct?
Okay, you're doing here? Okay,
yes.
Air conditioning. Oh, I like that better, actually.
Yes. Friday night at 6:30. Not a fan. And if you have any questions, see me or Gary.
Okay. And listen, I'll send out a text too. So if anybody is not on that text chain, would you come see me and give me your name and number? I'll put you on that text chain. It'll let you know about Bible studies and things like that and events just like this.
Is there anything you want to add, Gary?
This is like the trip. It's hour and a half, and you get the kernel from the book in an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's an awesome book.
Even if you've already read the book, I mean, it's a follower's example, so you can still benefit from it one way or the other.
Awesome. Thanks for doing that. That's really cool.
What time is it?
6:30. Friday. Be there, be square. And a Flo, if you don't mind, you're somewhere in here. Can we do yours next week, wherever you are? Flo. Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, thanks. Can we do, we'll talk about the close, next week. Is that okay? We'll do a slide. Send me a text. We'll have you come up. Awesome. You're amazing. Okay. So open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand and the kind-hearted Chris will deliver one right to you. You want to have a Bible. You will need a Bible. If you ever have to go to any Bible studies and you don't open a Bible, and that's the general theme, go to a different Bible study. Okay, so here's the funny thing. God is so awesome. Okay, last week's teaching was so awesome, and it was so cool, and it was just being a but if not Christian as we were doing Daniel chapter 3. And so, man, I slept just like a baby Sunday. I was so excited. People were so jazzed up. It was so awesome. And then came Monday morning, and the Lord said to me, you never finished it. That was the first thing. Like he woke me up and said, you didn't finish it. I'm telling you a little bit about my private, our conversations with the Lord. So this is a little embarrassing for me. So I told the Lord, I said, this is embarrassing. Yes, I did. I totally finished it. It was a great close. We did the Dunkirk thing. You remember that illustration? It was amazing. I'm like, Lord, that was awesome. You didn't finish the chapter. So I said, yes, I did. So I text George. I said, George, I may have not finished the chapter. He's like, yeah, you didn't finish the chapter. That hurt. Oh, well, the Lord keeps me humble. So of course, the Lord was right and I was wrong again. And I guess I had forgotten some of the last couple verses, the result of what happened. If you guys remember in Daniel chapter 3, give me like 5-10 minutes to recap here. In Daniel chapter 3, it was the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these God-fearing men who have been taken to Babylon when King Nebuchadnezzar had taken over Israel along with Daniel, and they've been moved up to some of the highest positions in Babylon. And you remember in chapter 3, the king of Babylon, some years have gone by, he's conquered many, many territories, and he's gotten quite proud. He pretty much rules the known world at this time. And so he built about 100-foot image of himself up on a pedestal of gold. Now, if that weren't enough, and then he invited everybody to come up. He didn't invite everybody. It wasn't like, hey, come to this little soiree. I got a statue of myself we want you to bow down to. No, he commanded all the peoples, the nations, the languages, all their rulers, their leaders to come out and bow down and worship. So he had a rockin' band, and he probably had pyrotechnics and laser lights for this thing. Not really. But so he got this in the plain of Dura. He had this huge thing made, and then he, with the carrot and the stick, he said, here's the thing, you're all to bow down and worship this image of myself because I'm the king of everything and you're to bow down and worship it. And if you don't, when they all start playing, then we're going to burn you alive in this fire. So we're talking tens of thousands of people gathered in the plains of Dura in the opulent Babylonian kingdom and Nebuchadnezzar up there, and you remember that as soon as all the music hit, everybody fell down on their face. They're like, yep, we don't want to be burned into the fire. Thank you. But you remember there was three people that chose not to do that, that chose not to bend their knee and worship a false god. Now, I'm sure they had to be thinking, well, that's just 5 minutes. You know, I'll bend the knee, right? Who cares? God knows my heart. I'm going to stand for him in my heart. But no, they didn't do that. They said, you know what, Nebuchadnezzar? We're not going to stand. We're not going to bow down to your gods. And then Nebuchadnezzar, he's like, okay, have them brought to me. Perhaps you don't understand. Shadrach, you guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you might not understand, but if you don't do this, I'm going to, if you'll do this, when we start again, I'm going to do it again. Now this time, if you just bow down, that's all you got to do, everything will be fine. But if not, I am going to stoke that fire and burn you alive. And of course, you guys know what Shadrach, the famous but if not, he said to King Nebuchadnezzar, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and this is the line, and this was it in, you know, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace in verse 17, you know, the God that we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image you have set up. And you guys remember the story. He heats up the fire 7 times hotter. He has them immediately bound. He's enraged that here in front of all these people, tens of thousands, they're defying him. But they're just not going to bow down to the God. Whatever. If the God rescues them, if he doesn't, well, either way, they'll be up in heaven with him. He'll rescue them one way or the other. Right? And what happens, they were thrown in there. Even the guys that threw them in burned alive. And you remember what happened next in that fire. Did you hit those light there, Chris? Thanks, buddy. Remember what happened. It was a Christophany that Jesus Christ, or something as an angel, I think it was Jesus, was in the fire with them. And a few things we learned in that fire, you know, and I think it's a good representation for us. You know, we live in a wicked world. And a few things we learned is we all go through the fires of trials and suffering. There's nobody who's going to be escaping this. If you really want to follow Jesus, listen, if you want to be a compromiser and you can bow down and to that gold image, well, then you know what? The world's going to accept you. But if you're really a believer, a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're not going to do that. You're going to say, no matter what happens, I'm going to follow Jesus. Come H-E double hockey sticks or high water, I will follow Jesus. And so we have to remember, don't listen to any church or any teaching that says, hey, you know what? You're a born-again believer now? Well, then everything's going to be great. You'll have health and wealth and nonstop prosperity. You'll prance through the posy all the time. Ah, you're a king's kid. You don't need to worry about anything anymore. Bye. That is a lie from the pit, sadly. And at best, a distortion of the scriptures. The scriptures say that all those living godly lives will be persecuted. Okay? 1 Peter 4:12, 13 says, dear friends, Christians, don't be surprised at fiery trials you're going through. If something strange is happening to you, instead, I want you to rejoice, for these trials make you partners in Christ's suffering, so that you'll have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to the world. And James, I love this, James 1, 2 to 4. We all have our plans, but God has his plans. He says, I want you to consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face these trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. We also learn that God is able to save us, and you can trust him no matter what goes on in your life. When you're in a trial, where you're in the fire, where you're being oppressed, where you're being attacked, where you're being maligned, where you're being gossiped about, where you're being made fun of, he's able to save you, and you can trust him in that situation. Isaiah 43, 1 to 2 says, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. I know you. I love you. I know every hair on your head. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. That's your God. He loves you this much. Don't ever doubt his love in the middle of the trial. Don't doubt in the dark what God has showed you in the light. Yeah.
Back to that scripture,
Yes.
That you had?
Yes, yes.
It doesn't say if. It says when.
What?
When you pass
yes.
through the waters. It doesn't say if you pass through the waters.
That's a good point.
And though the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. It, again, it does not say if. It says when
yes.
you walk through the fire,
yes.
you shall not be burned.
That's a good point. I like that. Good. Thank you for sharing that. You get an A plus for the day. We also learned, but if not, listen, God will save us. God saves us sometimes from the fire, and we don't have to go through it. That's what I like the most. To be honest, I don't like the pain. I don't like the suffering. I don't like it. But God uses it for me to grow. That's what he uses. So God can save me from the fire sometimes. Sometimes he'll save us in the fire. Or sometimes he'll save us through the fire on the other side. There's a great book here. I'll give it away free to somebody who will read it. It's from Voice of the Martyrs and DC Talk. And it's short stories, about a page or two long, of people who have given their lives for Jesus Christ, who have remained faithful through death. And now God has wiped away every tear from their eyes. There's no more sorrow and there's no more pain. So no matter what happens, God is with you. If anybody wants this book, I use it as a devotional with the kids. It's a little powerful. They're all true stories, but they're awesome.
Read it, it's a must. Yeah.
If you haven't read it, it's a must. Agreed. But if not, so I want you to be a but if not Christian. We got a lot of wimpy Christians. I want to just be saved from or in. Oh, I don't want to go through it. Listen, God is able to save you, but if not, I'm not going to bow down. That's the kind of heart we need to have. Amen. God, give me that heart, Lord. Number four, fourth things we learned is Jesus is with you in the fire, whether we realize it or not. You know, Nebuchadnezzar called them out, probably not in the same tone. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come here. You know? And Jesus is still in the fire. He was still there. And he'll be with you in that fire. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. That's his promise. And it's whether you realize it or not. Sometimes you won't see him. Now the text, actually, I like to think of Jesus, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, they were all talking to Jesus in there. But I don't know that that happened. Maybe they didn't even see him. So that's why Corinthians 5:7, 2 Corinthians says, I will walk by faith even when I cannot see, because he's with us. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save, and he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. And in Matthew 28:20, I'm with you personally, always to the end of the age, born again believer. And the last thing was, from what we read, was the only thing that burned up in that fire was the bonds that held him captive. And sometimes you go through the fire so God can burn away some of those things in your life. Maybe it's pride. Maybe you're holding on to somebody or something or someone a little too tightly. You didn't even realize it. And God is showing you, you're holding on to that. You got to let it go. But the only thing that burned, not even their clothes were scorched, were the ropes, the chains, those ropes that held them fast. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So he's saying this to you and me. I want you to stand firm in that fire. And don't let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. Psalm 116:16 in the New Living Translation says, oh Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant. Born again into your household. For you have freed me from my chains. That's our God. He frees us. He frees us from addiction. He can free us from alcohol. He can free us from codependency. He can free us from depression. He can free us from meth. He can free us from pride, stealing. Our God is a freeing God. He doesn't want you bound up. And sometimes that trial is what it takes. But John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. You're free indeed. That's our God. Yeah. All right. So now, here we are at the end, the last few verses. If you can hit those lights. And here's the result, which I did not read. And I'm a little embarrassed about that. 28 and 30, I didn't read the end of it. So after they came out, and that the people saw that, you know, that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor even a hair on their head was singed, Nebuchadnezzar was blown away. And in verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And those aren't their original names, but those are those Babylonian names. "Who sent his angel and rescued his servants." It says they trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to worship any god except their own God. What about you? You know what I mean? Do you trust him? Are you willing to give up your lives rather than to serve any other god? Am I? I think that's something you need to think about. Are you willing to do that? Now, some people here might say, yes, hallelujah, amen. Others might be, I'm not so sure. Psalm 62:8 says, I want you to trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Trust in him at sometimes?
Most of the time.
Most of the time? Majority of the time? What does it say?
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Oh, man. Okay. I had all these really cool things, but the Lord is telling me not to do it and just can go on. Oh, I hate that. Sorry, Lord. Okay. They were really nice slides. Oh! You guys are brutal. That is true. And here's the rule. It says they trusted him, and it says, therefore, this is now because I've watched you go through this fire, because you've remained faithful, and because of all this that I've seen your God do, it says here, and I love this, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, here's his little saying, shall be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble or a dunghill. For no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Listen, the Bible says that all these things, what they went through, all these things were written. It says in Romans 15:4, everything that was written in the past was written to what? To teach us. So that the encouragement through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. See, God just doesn't have these to have little stories so you can do a Sunday school lesson. He wants you to know it. This happened so that you can have encouragement, so that you can have endurance. So if something like this, I don't know if somebody will tell you to bow down to a 100-foot statue and throw you in a fire, could happen. But more than likely, maybe it's somebody who's just kind of questioning you, mocking you for your faith, won't give you the promotion, laughing at you at school, whatever it might be, you'll be able to stand. And so too, when you stand, other people are going to look at your life. They're going to look back and they're going to say, I remember how Debbie Jo stood in that trial. I remember how Natalie stood firm and trusted the Lord Jesus in that trial. Do you know what I'm saying? You're a book. You're the only book some people will read. You know what I mean? They're going to look at you, Christian, and say, I want to see how you're reacting. Oh, it's just the same as others. Oh, no, there's something different about them. They didn't bow down. And that's a testimony. Amen? All right, whoever has a microphone, if you could bring it over right here, young lady. Well, you get it anyway. Normally that costs extra, but for you.
Costs extra. Nothing plus nothing is nothing. Okay, so the thing you just said, you said Christians are the only book some people read. I think it's actually the only Bible some people read, right? Christians are the only Bible some people read. Very powerful saying, actually.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So now, here we are. Nebuchadnezzar isn't a Christian yet, but God has, it's been years and years and years, but never stop praying for people. You know, as we go into this next chapter, this is kind of a weird chapter. I don't even know how to teach it. I love it. But I don't know how to teach it. And you know why? Because it's written by a pagan king. What? I'm serious. It's written by Nebuchadnezzar. But it's kind of cool. Some people say now 10, maybe 20, even 30 years have passed, right? And King Nebuchadnezzar is ruling the entire kingdom. 30 years, even from this fire, from this last chapter has gone by. And I'm sure Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been sharing their testimonies. And he's seeing them. And he's watching them for years. I'm sure he's been being prayed for. And something amazing happens. In chapter 4, I think Nebuchadnezzar, I think he gets saved. Now that might make some of you kind of angry if you've read some of the other chapters that we've had beforehand. Nebi's not such a nice guy, is he? Cutting people into pieces, making their houses dunghills, some gouging out eyes, some barbecuing people, not too fun. Don't listen to that, okay? He's not a nice guy. What? Paul didn't used to be nice either. You're right. When Paul writes in the New Testament, do you know the Apostle Paul? Everybody wants to be like Apostle Paul. Do you know what he was before that? Saul of Tarsus. He was judge, jury, and executioner. He was a murderer. He was a blasphemer. He would hold the coats for people as they stoned others to death. He would gather up troops, go and pull Christians away from their families and put them in prison, beat and torture them. That's who he was. Now, the neat thing is that God is no respecter of persons. And Paul even said it himself. He says, I think God saved me so that he saved me because I'm the worst of sinners. But how many others in here would kind of say, you know what? I feel like I was the worst of sinners. Raise your hand. See, whenever you come to Jesus Christ, you kind of have to come to that point to go, man, I am not such a nice guy. I am not such a great girl. I am not so wonderful. That's where it starts. Some of us in here were not so nice.
Some of us still aren't.
Some of us are still. But God is doing a work, an incredible life-changing work by the power of his Holy Spirit. That's who he is and that's what he does. He takes knuckleheads like you and like me. Yes, I pointed. Pastor, never point. And he changes us so that we can be different, God-honoring people, so that people can look at us like Shadrach and say, man, who are you? I'm not going to submit to your God, but I respect it. And so this is like his testimony, okay? He's like being a witness. Now, let's just read. Let me see. I have slides. Yep, of course I do. All right, I'm a slide guy because I'm a visual guy. And so it kind of helps me to stay on target and stay on task, okay, so here's what it is, all right? Here's what it is. If I had to break this testimony down, I thought it's a testimony. How do you teach a testimony, you know? And I don't think you do. I just think we kind of read it and talk about it as we go through it, okay? So if I had to take chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, this is kind of, if some of you guys are note takers, some of you guys like this stuff, some of you guys don't, but if I had to break it down into chapter 4, this is how I would break it down. 6 things. Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 is the presentation where he's going to start sharing about this amazing God that he's accepted. Daniel chapter 4 is the agitation in verses 4 to 18 where he's going to have this terrible dream. He's pretty proud. He's telling his story of how proud he was, and he had this dream, and God was stirring him, and he didn't know what it was about, but he knew something bad was happening. Daniel 4, 19 to 26 is the interpretation of that dream. And Daniel comes and does it again. Daniel 4, 27 is the exhortation. where Daniel doesn't just tell him the dream, but he tells him to repent. Five is probably the humiliation. Daniel chapter 4, 28 to 33, where you're going to see this man is so full of himself that he has to be emptied, and God humbles him. You're not going to believe it. And then the sixth thing is the restoration, when Nebuchadnezzar finally humbles himself and acknowledges the Lord as king. And he's king, he's restored to power and sanity. That's another story. So that's kind of how I would do it. And let's kind of take a minute and read this if we can. Thanks, Chris. Well, let's go through the scriptures. Nebuchadnezzar, dream of tree, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now this chapter begins at the with Nebuchadnezzar, it almost kind of begins at the with a presentation and a letter of praise for God. And he's going to go from there. So it kind of begins almost at the end. but he says, King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world. Now, verse 1 is kind of cool to me. Because if you were with us last week when we went through Daniel chapter 3, verse 7, this letter is addressed to the exact same people that he called 10, 20 years ago to come down and bow before his image. He's sending this letter, this testimony letter, to everybody. Now, I like that. And you're going to find that this letter, when you look at kings of the world throughout history, they don't like record all their losses. Do you know what I'm saying? Hey, we went to war and we got our pants beat. You know what I'm saying? They don't record that stuff. But here, you're going to find King Nebuchadnezzar's, he's going to actually humiliate himself, sending this letter to all his leaders, but he doesn't care. You know why he doesn't care? Because he knows the Most High God. This guy's gotten saved. He's like, I don't care, even care what people think of me anymore. I'm going to tell you about this Most High God. I want you to know him. I want you to love, I want to share it. And if you get saved, isn't that what you want to do? You don't know much, right? But you're just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but I just got to tell you about Jesus. That's how we are when we get saved. So he's writing this to the very same people that he told to bow down before him. And he starts off with something that's really probably blew their minds. He says, oh, I don't know what your translation says. Maybe it's something different. But mine says, may you prosper greatly. What does anybody else say something different? It's a pleasure. Peace to you. Listen, King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't interested in everybody having peace and prosperity. This is the guy, they're probably thinking, what? Who are you? Didn't you conquer our lands? Didn't you rob our treasuries? Didn't you enslave our people? Yeah, peace to you. Now it's different, you know? And that's what he's saying. He says, it's my pleasure to tell you about the miracles, signs, and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. I love that. Now, to me, if you've ever been around somebody who's newly saved, and I was the same way, it seems he's like a little self-centered about it. Let me tell you about what God's done for me. You know, he's like, you know, we can be a little self-centered. You know what I'm saying? And I think this is like, he's just excited. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Woo! And so this is what he's doing. He's like, how great are his signs? How mighty are his wonders? Don't forget, he's got statues and temples to other gods that he has in Babylon. How great are his signs? How mighty are his wonders? And for those of you who don't know, I don't want you to limit God. Listen, here are some things. I want you to look at this slide. Psalm 77:14 says, you are the God who performs miracles. You display your awesome power among the peoples. Listen to this. Mark made mention of that. It says you are the God who performs miracles. Not you were or used to be in the Old Testament. You are right now. That means God can save your company. God can save your marriage. God can save your husband, your wife. God can save your boss at work. God can save your sister or your brother or your friend or your classmate. Man, God can do whatever he wants to do. You don't stop praying for him. Here's somebody I never thought would get saved. Nebuchadnezzar. No, not you, Rebecca. You too. There's actually a few of us in here. That I thought, hey, but you know, the Lord has always done that for me. Like, my, I don't know if I should say this, Lord. Oh, no. Okay, maybe not. Okay, I have family members that I would never, like, never, they would never thought that they would ever get saved. Ever. And now they're seeking the Lord. After 20, 30, 40 years, you're thinking, you've got to be kidding me. So you don't give up. You keep praying. Because our God is a God who performs miracles. And he does that in our lives too. Signs and wonders. He does greater things. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth, Jesus says. When he's talking about, hey, believing in me, believe for my signs and miracles' sake. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same things I've done. In fact, he goes on to say this. This blows me away. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's even going to do greater things. Wait a minute now. What? He'll even do greater things because I'm going to the Father. He's placed his Holy Spirit in you. Don't limit what God can do in your life. God still heals today. God still speaks today. God still does these things today in lives, right now, right here. God can break that addiction. God can break that whatever, depression. That's our God. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible to those who believe, God said. Now, I don't even know exactly what that means. I've got some amazing stories I tell you. You might have an amazing story you could tell me. But that's what God does. So don't limit him. Remember, he can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can even ask for or even imagine. And he does. And don't forget it. So if right now you're not in that spot, you know that we're here telling you that's him. Don't limit him. So he does signs and wonders. And then he goes on to say, I love this. And his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. And his dominion endures from generation to generation. Now Nebuchadnezzar is kind of like the king of the world. But he's not really. He might be a great, powerful, mighty king, right? But he knows his time's going to come to an end. His kingdom's not an eternal kingdom. Psalm 103 says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Nebuchadnezzar's going to be very much humbled here. And now he tells the story. Actually, can I get somebody to read this who doesn't mind reading? Natalie, do you mind reading? One of you, Natalie's? Okay, yeah, if you wouldn't mind, just give you the... Thanks. Starting in verse 4, okay, and I'm going to try to be quiet.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to try to be quiet. Go ahead. I am trying right now.
I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid.
Okay, I got to say one thing. Okay, I know, just listen. Okay, so, okay, do you remember in chapter 3, chapter 2, Nebi had a dream. You remember that?
Yes.
And it says he used a different Aramaic word there, and the word meant troubled. He was troubled by the dream. Okay, this Aramaic word is dekal, and it literally means, doesn't mean troubled, got some agita, you know, angst. It means terrified. It means terrible. It means dreadful. So here the king of the known world has a false peace. He's contented. I'm doing okay. But then God steps in, and all of a sudden, I am terrified. Go ahead.
As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind were terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me.
Finally, wait a minute. I got to say one thing, too.
Yeah, why didn't he just call for Daniel?
Yeah, really. You know what? That's okay. Good question. First off, I think, you know, he calls, he's calling his, those magicians, those diviners, those diviners, those enchanters, those astrologers, those Chaldeans. He's calling them in there again, and it says that they could not interpret the dream. Can I be honest with you? I think they could, if you remember chapter 2. I think, who said that? Who said scared to? Bingo. Last time we went to interpret the dream, okay, tell us the dream, okay? It's not the right thing, I'm going to chop you into pieces. Oh, you know, I bet they were like, oh, this time we've learned. Oh, you know what? It's all gone. We don't know. Gosh, what could it mean? Who knows? Pick. Remember Daniel? Daniel might know. Ask Daniel. Okay, bye. You know, that's kind of what I think their heart is. Now, listen, we talked about this. We spent a whole hour on it, so I'm not going to do it again. Magicians and enchanters. Here's a book. Here's a book. I'll loan it to anybody. I just loaned it out to someone else. But if anybody wants to watch, she was the High Witch of Florida, the witch that switched.
I already read it, but nobody else wants to read it again.
Okay. If anybody wants to read this book, this is about a witch. There are demonic powers in this world. If anybody would like to read this book, you have to check it out in the Loaner Library. I will give it to you, and you can read it, and then you can return it back when you're done. The Witch That Switched and How She Got Saved, and God changed her life, just like little Nebby here. Does anybody want to read this book? I'll give you it. True story.
Really easy reading. I love reading. It was awesome.
Okay. Anybody want to read it? Okay. Okay. Bring it back when you're done, yes?
Yes.
And would you check it out in the Loner Library back there?
It's a fun book to discuss with people.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. Yep. Okay. Thank you. All right. We want to encourage and equip people here. That's the whole point. Okay. Let's continue on. I'm sorry. Would you continue? Verse 8.
Mm-hmm. Finally.
Oh, you asked a question. Why didn't he call Daniel?
Yeah, to begin with.
Okay. You know what? I don't know the exact answer because it doesn't say here. But sometimes I even know as Christians, sometimes we look to every other person, every other thing. There's financial problems. Let's call the bank. Let's ask a friend. Let's do this. You know what? And it's almost like sometimes, hey, finally, when nothing else works, hey, let's pray.
Oh.
Let's talk to God. Now,
makes sense.
We all have done it, right?
Yes,
so we want to get to the point to where when that thing happens, the first thing we do, right, is we go to God. So we're not like Nebuchadnezzar, okay?
Right, because he was a new Christian as well.
Exactly. Yes, go ahead, Anthony. Grab that mic.
A lot of times we go to other people because they're the answers we want to hear.
That's right.
You know, we may not want to go, I don't want to go to Pastor Derek. He's going to tell me what I don't want to hear, but I'll go over to so-and-so because he'll tell me what I want to hear.
Right. Oh, that's really good. You get an A, too. You with Mark. Yes. Natalie, you get some, too. Okay, that's good.
We also tend to have our same set of people that we use for our everyday things.
Comfort.
Right.
So we're just common. Okay, yeah, I ask these guys. That's their job, right?
Right.
But Daniel's not somebody he consults on a daily basis. He's out running the country and doing things for him.
Yeah, but I remember he did that before. Like, have you ever noticed if you're a believer in a place of work or a lot of times the friends, your friends or your coworkers, they won't call until the problem gets really bad.
Yep.
And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't even know. Let me just talk to the Christian as the last resort. So I think that's kind of what's going on right now. Go ahead. And he also probably wants an honest answer. Good.
Okay, I'm going to finish now.
Okay, you do that.
Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar.
You know, it's interesting, though, that he actually used his real name, his Hebrew name. Anyway, that probably doesn't matter. Go ahead. Just go ahead. Keep going.
After the name of my God and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream.
Now remember, real quickly, when he's saying the holy gods, he's going back to his testimony. So he's saying what he said before he gets it. Go ahead, keep going.
Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are my visions. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruits abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. For it, every creature was fed.
Now, just as a little FYI, in the Bible, many times trees are used as symbols of political authority, such as like kings or nations or empires, or like people groups. Like in Ezekiel 31, trees represented Pharaoh, or like Israel in Hosea, I think it's Hosea 14, or in Zechariah 11, 1-2, or Luke 23, 31. And so it usually represents somebody in political power, a king, a Pharaoh, a people. Anyway, all right, keep going.
In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field."
Now, really quickly. Question. Yes, question.
I don't understand the wrapping of the
trunk. Okay, that's a good question. All right, she's saying that she doesn't understand the wrapping of the trunk. Some people think you're going to see it a little bit. Some people think it means that he's going to be bound with this humbling, which you're going to see in a minute, with this affliction. But actually, I don't think that's what it is. I think the stump represents like Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. And what he's going to do that around the roots, that band around it, I think is protection. That God is actually going to protect him and his kingdom until the end of this judgment time. Okay. So that's what I think it means. Because God loves Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. You see, sometimes, like when we get like we're a Christian for a long time, we get all self-righteous and we think, God doesn't like that person because they're too bad. Are you kidding me? God loves that person. He desires that none should perish. Wow. And he loves Nebuchadnezzar. All right. Oh, and real quickly, in the verse 13, where it says that messenger, a holy one, came down and spoke this to him. Now, some people think this is a type of angel. Like, I don't think it is. It's a little bit of a stretch for me. I think it's just an angel, a messenger of God. Some of your Bibles might say watchman or something like that. A watcher. Yeah, that sounds a little creepier. But you know, hey, angels are watching over us, okay? Angels are a reality just like the demonic realm is a reality. But some people see this like, you know, like the cherubim that guard the entrance to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:24, or the seraphim, you remember, that fly before the Lord in Isaiah 6 with the wings, they cover their eyes and their feet and they fly and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," you know? But I just think this is just an angel. And he's, I shouldn't say just an angel. When God sends his messengers, when you see the little angels, and that you see them up on the little naked, you know, little baby, you know what I'm saying? Oh, look at that cute little angel cherub. When people meet angels for real in the Bible, they're always terrified. They are terrified. In fact, they have to say, "Don't be afraid." Okay? So God's warriors are powerful and awesome and amazing. And there's more spoken about them even than the demonic realm, but that's for another time. Okay, sorry, continue.
Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth.
Did you notice that? It switched from general to him. Now it's going to say him, his. All right, keep going.
Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him. The decisions is an announcement by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of men.
Yeah. Now, some people wondered, okay, what does till seven times mean? And seven in the Bible is usually just a number of completion. Now, some people will say that means months. Some people, so 7 months. Some people think it means in Babylon at the time, they only counted two seasons, summer and winter. So that would mean about 3.5 or 4 years. And there's actually historical writings that say that Nebuchadnezzar hated ruling his empire for about 4 years. He doesn't say why, but the historical writing saying that he didn't do anything, he didn't do a bunch of things for 4 years. I thought that was interesting. So it could mean that, or it could mean 7 years. It could mean, you can take your pick. I don't know for sure. God didn't speak that to me. All right. But we do know it's a period of time of completion. Okay, so you can choose. All right, keep going.
This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in the kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Keep going.
Yep. I know, then, I'm doing good, don't you think?
Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream of its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, with its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of the heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord, the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals and will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue.
Now, listen to me, guys. You know, this is really cool of Daniel. You know, this is what we as Christians have to do. We can't compromise truth when we're talking to people. I was talking to a wonderful person. They were over at my house this past week. They lead a different church, helped to lead it. They're second in charge. And we were talking about things, and their particular denomination just has had a big vote, and they're not, anyway, about whether they should start marrying homosexuals and lesbians and different things like that, and it was kind of close, and he's just like, I try to stay away from all those things. I don't want to get involved with that. If that's what they're choosing to do, you know, let them, they can do what they want to do, and you know, and you know, hey, whatever, abortion or whatever, you know, homosexuality or what. And I finally, he's like, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? And I said, you know what? I know what you're trying to say. I said, and I appreciate that you're trying to be loving to these people, and because we all need it, right? We're all sinners, isn't that correct? So if anybody comes in here from any background, you're going to be loved on because Jesus loves you. However, you're also going to be loved on enough to be told the truth. And I said, listen, I said, let's just say, right? The Bible's clear about adultery. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's clear about that too. I said, well, let's just say that I started cheating on my wife. What? He's like, oh, yeah, let's just say I started cheating on my wife and committing adultery. I said, and you knew about it, but you don't want to address it because, you know, you don't want to be judgmental, right? I said, no. I said, man, I hope that in love you would come to me and say, hey, I love you, brother. This is wrong. You got to stop it. You're damaging yourself, your relationship with the Lord, your wife, your family, those around you. It's hurting the Lord's heart. I hope that you would love me enough and love my wife enough to say, this is wrong. I love you, but you have to stop it. See, as a Christian, that's what we need to do. We don't need to be self-righteous jerks, which so many have been, right? We need to be loving and kind, but we need to stand on the truth. We can't compromise it. Does that make sense? Listen, the Bible says this, and I know it's not fun to always have to do this. I had to tell somebody, I had to tell multiple people this weekend. I was talking to somebody, and I had to tell them something that I didn't think they wanted to hear. And you know what? Usually, it's not received well. This time it was, and they actually said, thank you so much. You're absolutely right. I thought that, and wow, what a godly, humble person that was able to do that. And the Bible says this. I don't know if you could hit this. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but bitter are the kisses of an enemy. That means a friend, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, you're going to have to tell people the truth no matter what. A real friend is going to tell you not just what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. That's a friend. And a friend loves at all times. So you love them. You be patient, you be kind, but you also speak the truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love will all grow up in every way into him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, is everybody going to be happy with that? Oh, you're telling me what I don't want to hear. Now, can I tell you? About half the people in this church have been very mad at me at one time or another. Just being honest.
Can we take a vote on that?
Maybe it's more. Okay. Well, anyway. Okay. But the point is, but you know what? Sometimes I haven't been too happy with somebody telling me something. But if it's what the Lord has to say, then I say, thank you, Jesus. I want to hear what you have to tell me. Galatians 4:16 says, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Again, not in a self-righteous way, but in a loving way. We need to speak the truth in love. And I've got so much awesomely cool stuff, historical stuff. Ah. But we don't have time, so we're not going to do this. We're already gone over a bit. So we'll pick it up next week in verse 29. But I want to tell you, the Lord is so awesomely cool. And he's patient. Do you know, even after God spoke this thing through through Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar, God didn't bring down the hammer. He's really, after all this time, and then the dream, and then the interpretation, and then the exhortation, Nathan, hey, David, you're the man. It's still, a whole another 12 months went by. And you know why? It's the Lord's not slow to fulfill his promises. Some count slowness, 2 Peter 2, 3:9 says, but he's patient toward you, towards me. And he's not wishing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's going to be patient with him too. So next week, we're going to pick it up in Daniel chapter 4. We'll finish this testimony. And then in Daniel chapter 5, we're going to see the finger of God moving. And that's a story for another time. Let's take a minute and let's pray and let's give thanks to our God, the Most High God. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would help each one of us in this room not to be compromisers, Lord. That you would help each one of us in this room to speak the truth in love because we love you and because we love your word and because we love others. Lord, we ask that you would give us the strength to stand up when we need to stand up, but also, as we're going to see in the rest of this chapter, Lord, the humility to do it in a God-honoring way. We love you, Lord. Help us to be steadfast, but loving. We love you and bless you and praise you and thank you. And we ask your blessing on this congregation. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you guys.